Jesus tells us today is a little odd in some ways because it seems to give a teaching to us that would encourage us not to be concerned about the future or concerned about taking care of the generations that are after us. It might be interpreted to say that somehow, you know, we're not supposed to be concerned about having enough to eat, a place to live, you know, food, clothing, the basic needs of life. But I don't think that's what it says at all. Others would interpret it that this is the perfect time to talk about stewardship. It is, after all, about money. And few Gospels actually address the subject head on like this. But that's not what this sermon is about. Well, it's about money, but not about stewardship. If you think about it, we hear about money all the time. Just listen to the world around us. We're always concerned about who has it and who doesn't. Who has more and who has less. And how do we get it? How do we store it? How do we make it? How do we do all these things? Money, 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 money. There is, after all, a song and a very popular musical, which many of you probably have seen, Cabaret. Where, I think it's Joel Gray who sings the song, Money Makes the World Go Around. Money makes the world go around. So it is. It's a very convenient sort of thing, this money. Because after all, in the days before money, you'd have to pay for a service or for something by barter. So, for example, if you went to the doctor's office or to the lawyer's office, you took with you a chicken or a pack of apples or something that you would give in exchange for what value you had been given in the service that was rendered. If I grew peaches and you wanted peaches and you grew wheat, you'd give me a bushel of wheat and I'd give you a bushel of peaches and we'd be square. But you know, a long time ago, we figured out that's an awfully difficult way to run an economy. And so, inventive as we are, we came with the concept of money. Something in which we invest value simply by our accepting it to be what it is. So, money does make the world go round. Because it is the means by which we exchange things. It's a good thing to have. No question about it. If you don't have any money, it's pretty hard to go to the grocery store to buy something to eat. If you don't have any money, it's pretty hard to pay the rent or the mortgage. If you don't have any money, it's pretty hard to go to a place where you can get some clothing. So having money is not bad, and Jesus is not saying that it's bad. That's not it at all. Notice the word he uses, the word is greed. The word is greed. And in the traditional listing of moral issues used by the church for centuries, greed is considered one of the capital sins, of which there are seven. And by capital sins, we're saying that these things have such power that they can rob you of your very life. Somehow, along with the other six, this thing called greed, or in very fancy terminology, avarice. Greed or avarice can eat at the soul. It can eat at relationships. It can actually begin to destroy you. So powerful is this reality. And when it is not used for good, it is used for ill, then this greed, this avarice, this desire to get more and more and more, whether it's money or things or anything else, that's something that can actually kill us. We hear about it all the time. People who are being robbed, who are somehow hurt violently, or even their life taken, all because of greed. Well, I don't see too many greedy people. a question you can ask. Because it differs for each and every one of us. You see, the man who had the big barn and the grain in this story, as Jesus tells it, that man was doing a good thing. He was raising grain that he could sell to others so that they could grind it into flour and make bread in their family to feed their family. This is a good thing. So to have enough of it to go around is an important thing. The issue, Jesus says, is that he had a bumper crop. He had so much, he didn't know what to do with it. And so rather than simply acknowledging that he had more than enough, he decided he was going to keep it for the future. Or keep it in such a way that he could make more money. Now, how did this whole thing start? Well, first of all, the beginning of the story, before the story even starts, before Jesus tells the parable, this man comes up to Jesus and says, I have a right to my inheritance. Tell my brother to give it to me. Maybe the brother was the executor of their estate, of the parents' estate, and somehow he was keeping it all for himself. And so Jesus says, hey, well, ask me about it. Think about it this way. And he tells the story. What is the purpose of the story? And that's really what we have to think about. When Jesus is telling parables, he wants us to fit someplace in there. One of the things he makes very clear in the story is made very clear for us in today's first lesson. But the bottom line is, everything that is created, everything that is around us, everything that we instill with some sort of value, all of this will fade away. All of us will end up in the same place. As the funeral rite says, we all go down to the grave. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are powerful or weak, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you are famous or infamous, and no one knows who you are, you end up in the same place. It's once been said that death is the great leveler. All of us are human beings. All of us will have our lives come to an end. All of us will somehow go to the grave in some form or another. We'll all end up in the same place. And there, who cares how much money you've got? Really? You know, at one point, it was quite a common practice when estates were probated to make sure that the amount of the estate was published. How much money did we leave? What was the value of his estate? And somehow we instilled that with a sense that this person was a great success if they had a very large estate. In essence, what we were saying was this person is a success if he had to tear down his barns and build bigger and bigger and bigger ones to house all that money. Well, maybe we don't keep money in barns, but we do keep it in our wallets or our bank accounts. And how often we look to see who is successful in life by how thick their wallet might be, or perhaps how big their bank account. Maybe we can lose track of that in today's day and age. Although I said money was an important invention, well, we don't even use money anymore. We have these little plastic cards, or you don't even have to exchange, you don't have to bring a chicken or a peck of apples. You don't even have to bring a dollar bill or five or ten. All you have to do is press a button. And money is exchanged. Value is exchanged. So maybe we don't think we love money until we're constantly checking our balances. With smartphones and all of these kinds of inventions today, it's very easy. I confess. I do that every morning. Wake up. Phone is there. Among other things that I do first thing in the morning, I will check the balance in my account. Probably because, truth be known, I live so close to the edge, I want to make sure that any sort of check that I've written doesn't become a rubber toy and bounce all over the place. But it is a concern. And it can cause worry. And that's maybe where we get caught up in this. Because the man in the parable, the man in the story, even the man who came to Jesus and asked him to make sure his brother gave him his inheritance, these people are worried about money. everything. And sometimes we need to kind of pull it all together and connect the dots. Remember that story of Martha and Mary that we told a couple of weeks ago? Martha was there, and she's banging the pots in the kitchen. You remember we kind of painted that picture? And she comes and complains to Jesus about Jesus. So, says everything. I mean, after all. And what does Jesus say? Oh, Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things. You're worried about so many things. Only one thing is important, and Mary has chosen that better. That's a little bit of a clue as to what's going on here today. Because it isn't so much the money that is the problem, and it's not so much the issue that we need money to do things. That's not the issue at all. It's if it distracts us from the things that are truly important. Last week, we heard a marvelous gospel lesson where Jesus seeks to teach his disciples to pray. Now think of it. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come. That's the first priority. Your kingdom come. Which means anything that distracts us from the kingdom of God is going to be something that can eat at us, that can destroy our relationship with our God. So, Jesus is saying, don't try to be rich for yourself. Don't turn in on yourself. Don't think about yourself and how you kind of get along in this world and all the things about it that people can say you're successful and all that. No. Use this for God. Ah, there's the perfect entry into my stewardship sermon. But as I said at the outset, that's not what this is. So I'm not going to tell you that in order to give it for God, you have to give it to me. And I'll make sure God uses it the way I want God to use it. No. Jesus says, you need to be rich for God. He doesn't mean to do just what I described, but rather that we must be rich in the things of God's kingdom. Things like compassion. Things like forgiveness. Things like generosity. Things like being able to heal others. Things like making sure that people have enough to eat. Things like making sure people have the proper clothes on their back. Things like making sure they have some place to live. All of these great works come about and they require what? Money. You see, the problem with the man in the parable is not that he had too much. It's how he used it. See, the barns were perfectly adequate before. He probably, had built them many years before. And he kept some years, probably didn't get full. The other year filled pretty much to the brim. But this year was an exceptional year, and he had so much more. So he probably thinking, well, next year's going to be the same, and the year after that, and pretty soon bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Until there's nothing to fill it at all. Then what happens? You see, that's really the issue. If we have enough for ourselves, enough food, enough to have clothing, enough to have a home, enough to have the things we need to get by day by day by day, and we have more from God and greater abundance from God, the question that is asked of us is, what do we do with that? And the answer that must come out, the proper answer, the answer that will see God's beneficence to us, is that I have enough, and what I have extra, I give away. I make sure I have what I need. There's nothing wrong with that. But then, I make sure those who have needs have those needs met. You see, to live in the kingdom is to live a fully human life. And so we need to eat, we need clothing, and so on. end there. To live in the kingdom is then to do all the things about the kingdom that God wants us to do. To proclaim the good news of Christ. To be able to share the good news with people around us. To be able to make sure that they are filled with the good things of this world in a way that will help them see the goodness of God. You spend money on your clothing and your food and your home so that you are healthy and that you live a sound, good life. Once you have attained that, what more is it? Except building a bigger bar, getting a fatter wallet, opening yet another bank account. What do we do with what God gives us? Oh my gosh, it's stewardship. What do we do with the gifts that God has blessed us with? Beyond taking care of ourselves with healthy and sound lives, what are we doing to proclaim the kingdom of God? What are we doing with the resources with which we have been gifted? Are we showing love to others? Are we making sure those who have hunger pains have their fill? Are we sure that we're giving justice to one another and to others in the world? By showing that justice and that love, are we being the very presence of Christ? That is why we have been marked out for Christ. Unless the money we have, the excess we have, is used to bring health, strength, and wholeness to others, we are not using it for the kingdom of God. We are not becoming rich in the things of God. Only then, because then we are moving outside of ourselves. We are no longer thinking only of ourselves, but we are thinking of others. And in point of fact, that is the essence of Jesus' command to us. Love one another as I have loved you. And what is love? But to make sure that others are taken care of. Ooh. A few more weeks ago, what story did you hear? The story of the Good Samaritan. Think of it. All these stories Jesus has been telling. Maybe today is one of the reasons he told them. To get us ready to hear this hard message. To get us ready to understand what the kingdom of God is about. So that when we pray, thy kingdom come, that prayer is heartfelt. And the transforming power of the Spirit changes us. So may it be. So may it be.